the Lord. Hallelujah. You are worthy of it all. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo! Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. How many of you agree he's worthy of it all?
Amen.
How many of you have seen the goodness of God working in your life over and over again? Amen. And you're supposed to remember that testimony. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony, we will overcome. Amen. So when you get in a tight spot again, don't ask God, where have you gone? Why have you forsaken me? You know he's not. Amen. He didn't come to Calvary to die and resurrect and raise again to just leave you hanging in your situations. If he loved you enough to bring salvation to you at your worst point, we weren't looking for him then.
Amen.
Right? We weren't looking for him. He came and grabbed us. And he said, it's time. You come. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to set you free. I'm going to deliver you from all that you've been going through. And I'm going to give you eternal life.
Amen.
I'm going to come live inside of you. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. He's so good.
Praise the Lord.
He is so good. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So we first want to thank the ladies. The sisters are still here. Yes. And Candace. So we've got Lissa. Stand up, ladies, please.
Amen. Praise God.
And Susan.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And Lissa, thank you guys. The food was amazing. They made all the breakfast for us.
Amen.
Now, that is a hint of our women's breakfast, but sorry, you can't come, men. You cannot come to our women's breakfast. You come to men's
Praise
breakfast.
The Lord. Amen.
And if it's not as good, then you get on him. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
And then we want to thank everybody, all the men, everybody that helped pick everything up, the tables and chairs. Thank you so much. We appreciate you.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Okay, just real quick, don't forget about our women's breakfast / Bible study coming up this Saturday. We have Miss Sarah. She's going to be bringing the word. And amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're excited about it.
Amen.
That's all I can think of is the women's breakfast.
Well, next week after service, we're going to meet because on Monday is the big eclipse day, right?
Yes.
So we want to provide parking in the church parking lot. So we need help out there, directing traffic in and all that. And also, I believe the Lord will give us opportunities to witness to people and share the
Absolutely.
Gospel. We are going to have some... porta potties out here for people. But those of you who are part of the church and are here to help, you'll have the access to the inside of the facility.
Yes.
But we just want to see what we can do to help out and help with all the crowds of people that are supposed to come.
Yeah, we don't know. We really don't know what to expect, right? But they say that there's like about 100,000 that are supposed to come into the area. So if you would please sign up that you're helping, because we're going to go get food this week to stick in here for us, because it's going to be a day, a long day. And like he said, we'll have a meeting after church next Sunday and discuss it all with all of the people that would like to help.
Amen. Praise God. Yeah, I think I'm going to...
This is the third time he changed order of service on us. Three times. Do you see how much grace and mercy we have to have every second of every service?
Amen.
No, it's good. Yes?
Amen.
Thank you, baby. You know that's my baby right there.
So right now, we're going to go ahead and let the children go to children's church. Praise God. And then what we're going to do is look in the book of Malachi chapter 3, and we're going to talk about our offering today. Praise God. Hallelujah. And in Malachi chapter 3:10 it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. saith the Lord of hosts. You know, it's interesting because when it comes to tithe and offering and giving, the Lord was gracious enough to say, prove me in this area. Test me. Try it my way. Sow your seed. Bring your tithe into the storehouse or into the church and release it by faith and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven. See if I will not rebuke the devourer on your behalf. See if I won't protect your lands and your life. And see if I won't make you a delightsome land. I'm telling you that when you go all in your relationship with God and you trust him in every area, and I mean with our life, with our health, with our relationships, with our finances, when we trust God in every area, he will go above and beyond to prove to you how much he wants to work in your life. Amen? And I love it because the Bible is clear that the Lord, when he was looking over the offering at one time, he saw people give big gifts and he saw people give what seemed like the littlest gifts. One woman gave just two mites, which was all she had. In the monetary system, it was a small offering, but to the Lord, it was significant because it was proving to him that she trusted him. And even in the areas where she lacked and had the least, she gave it to the Lord so that she could know and he could know that she was resting and trusting on him. Amen? So I want you to know that your offering and your relationship with God should be based out of our heart and proving by our faith that we trust him and believe him in this area. Amen? And I want you to know that what you release to God today, it's enough, and he's working with you, and he's going to touch your life. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as we get ready, God, to take this sacred moment and honor you in the area of tithes and offerings, God, as we get ready to put you first in this area, God, I thank you that you knew that this was, hallelujah, you knew that this was a sensitive area for people, and God, you told them in your word that you would prove yourself in their giving and in their life, Father. That you would show up where they have need and you would show up and help in their situations, God. And Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness and your kindness. And God, as people use their faith, God, today, I thank you that you will touch their life, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise to God. Hallelujah. Bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, we're going to do communion today towards the end of the service, right before we pray for salvation and then pray for anybody that needs healing today. Just because on Resurrection Sunday, I want it to be very, very important for us to remember that every time we give reverence to the Lord, we're giving honor to what he did for us and making sure that we are honoring him until the time that he returns. Amen? And so I am so thankful that you're here on Resurrection Sunday. I'm so thankful that you're here as we commemorate the most powerful, the most profound moment that has ever happened in our history of humanity. Amen? Thank God for the birth of Jesus that we celebrate at Christmas time. But I want to tell you that I thank God most for his faithful completion of the journey. And then the finishing of that moment where he was resurrected to provide for our life. You know, it says in the book of Acts chapter 3, verse 26, it says, unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. I want you to know something, that we need to be extra thankful today because we understand that by the work of Jesus on the cross, he took care of our yesterday and he takes care of our tomorrow. I want to just start with some very commemorative words, but I'm first going to go to the book of James, chapter 1, and I'm going to read something to you that is very profound. It says in verse 14, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You know, another scripture says to us, the wages of sin is death. And I want you to know something. That should be a reverentially fearful statement for every one of us, because in our humanity, without fail, one thing we can be guaranteed is that man is going to sin. And it is unfortunate that because of the walk that Adam chose to take in the garden, that it set a precedent for humanity to say that unfortunately in every one of us, there is going to be found sin. And what happens if sin goes unchecked? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And I want you to know that in no way, shape, or form do you and I want to end up in a place where at the end of the day, when we pass from here to the other side, we don't want to meet God having been filled with a life that produces sin after sin after sin. And so we want to be thankful today for about the most powerful statement that Jesus said in the Word of God. And he said many, but I tell you what, that this is one that I put right up there with some of the most powerful things that the Lord has ever said to mankind. And we're going to look in the book of John, hallelujah, praise God. And in John, we're going to look in verse, in John chapter 19, and we're going to read something. And it says in verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, wow, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Wow, I just want to stay right here for just a minute with you, because I want you to know something. What a powerful, powerful statement that the Lord said. It is finished. You know what's so powerful about that is not only did Jesus take on the weight of the sins of the world on his shoulders, but he was strong enough to carry it to the point where not only did he take the weight of the sins of the world, but he put it in his hand and his heart between him and God to finish what man could not do for himself. You know, I thank God that the Bible says it's by grace that we're saved and not by works. You know, I want you to know that, first of all, as a Christian, you should have an igniting in your heart that makes you desire to live for God from this day forward. After you're a Christian, I want you to know you should be on fire to say, I want to please God. I want to live for him. In fact, the Bible says in one scripture that once we are saved, we ought to look to bring forth fruits that are worthy of repentance. In other words, we should produce fruit in our life after we're saved that confirms and verifies that we've been changed. People should see changes in our attitude. People should see changes in our behavior, how we speak, what we do, where we're found. You know, I want you to know that after I got saved, you could not find Philip Walker in the bar anymore. In fact, I remember the first time I was so proud of myself because I said, Lord, tithing really does work because it's Friday and we're getting ready to go into the weekend and we still have money in our account, which was unusual before. I mean, there were some times where we didn't have a dime going into the weekend. Got paid on Friday and was broke by Friday night because of bills and everything else and because of stupid decisions, because I will never forget when I was celebrating the fact that we'd been tithing and doing right and we had money left over. And the minute I made that statement, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, yep, and you ain't wasting no money on alcohol. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want you to know that, yes, he was letting me know that the supernatural of his touch is a part of it, but he was also letting me know that now that I had the wisdom and the strength in him, because under my own power I didn't, but with the strength he gave me in my spirit, I was able to overcome and start turning things out of my life that were not confirming the word of God in my life. And I want you to know that when the Lord says it is finished, the great thing about salvation being by grace is because we should do our best after we're saved to live for the Lord. And I know that we do, and I know that we open our heart and we pray and we want to be led by the Lord. But I'm also thankful that in no way, shape, or form are my works good enough to get me into heaven. Whew. The only thing that has ever been or ever will be, the only thing that has ever been good enough for any man to go to heaven is that the blood of Jesus was shed on the cross and he died and finished a work that only him and the Father could do. Remember when the Lord was lamenting and praying in the garden before he went to the cross? He said, Father, if there be possibility of any other way, please take this cup. This is big. This is something that is huge to bear. Please remove this cup. And then at the same time, our Lord and Savior said, but if there be no other way, then let's finish this together. Strengthen me, God, and let me do this. And I tell you what, God strengthened Jesus so much that the Bible says that before he went to the cross, you know, he didn't even open up a word to complain. He didn't resist even when they were speaking lies about him. And even when he could have stood up and proclaimed again who he was, it says that he was quiet and the only thing he said was, hey, as you have spoken. Amen? And I want you to know something, that I am thankful today, most of all, that the Lord has finished what was needed for us to live the rest of our life in him and with him going forward. Amen? You know, it's powerful for us to remember that the Lord opened his mouth and said, it is finished. You know, there's one other thing that the Lord did when he was in this moment that was unbearable and that was bigger than his humanity at the time, is that he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. You know, I want to challenge you on two fronts today. The first is, I want you to be bold enough to say, Lord, when it comes to my life, it is finished. I'm good enough not because of who I am. I'm good enough because of who you are. Lord, it is finished. Not that there won't be things that I have to repent from and grow from, and not that there won't be difficulty in my future, but I know what I know is that I can never be ripped from your hands. And if I don't back up, God, there's never going to be a moment that I'm not moving forward with you. Praise God. The other thing I want you to say this morning is, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I commit my life. I give you, Father, as a sacrifice, my willingness to live for you, and I pray that you will help me do it. Amen? I'm so thankful for the word that says that there's nothing that we can do on our own, but everything we can do by Christ who gives us strength. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. I want to remind you of one thing, too, that we need to look at here and we need to take note of, because we're going to finish in a little different way than we start, because right now we're talking about the sacrifice that God made for us. We're talking about how Christ went to the cross for us. And I want you to know that there was an amazing moment when Jesus was going to be baptized. And John the Baptist was proclaiming things about the Lord before he ever came to preach the gospel himself on the earth. And we're going to look at John chapter 1 and just read something amazing about your Lord and Savior. And it says in John chapter 1, verse 26, John answered them saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latches I'm not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, I don't know what, Bethabara, whatever it is, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him and says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. I want you to know something, that it was proclaimed, behold, the Lamb of God. You know, I want you to know that we know in the Old Covenant that lambs were sacrificed to make atonements for the sins of man throughout humanity, but we also learn at the same time that those sacrifices of animals were never good enough. So God had to send a supernatural lamb represented in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and he came and he did the work that no one else could do. But I also want to tell you that the Bible says that there is a time where we have to look beyond Jesus' humanity. There's a time where we have to recognize that there is much more behind him than his ability to walk on this earth as a man. We have to start to recognize the deity of Jesus. Praise God. We have to start to recognize the greatness of our Savior, the wonderfulness, the power, the goodness, the authority. The other side of everything is that I thank God that he came as a lamb, and I thank God that he was here in that significant way to humble himself. You know, the Bible says that he became poor and exchanged his wealth and his richness to be poor, which means that he took on the form of humanity to make a way for us to have salvation. And then I want you to know that it also says this in Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, and one of the elders said to me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. You know, I thank God that Jesus came as the Lamb to take away the sins of the world. But I also want to remind you that in the restoration of his deity, when he stepped out of that time of death, you need to understand that the minute he left this fleshly body, the authority, the greatness, the power, the anointing, the authority of his majesty was confirmed and was sealed and was blown up. And I want you to know it was blown up in such a way that there was such a brightness and such an authority that the gates of hell could not prevail against him, that Satan was nothing to him. I want you to know that immediately when he finished his last breath on the cross, it meant that he was taking the authorities of the keys of the kingdom. He was taking the authority of mankind and humanity to places that could never go unless Jesus finished the work that he finished. Woo! I tell you what, praise God. I want you to know that sometimes there's erroneous doctrine out there. And I usually don't like to go down rabbit trails, but I'm going to just for 1 second, because I want you to know that there's a sect of people out there that talk about Jesus suffering and being beaten down in hell and all these different things. I want you to know something. He had to finish all that on this side in his humanity. He had to take his beatings in the natural, because I'm telling you, as soon as he left the body, the lion of the tribe of Judah was in the immediate fullness of the manifestation of the authority and the goodness that made him walk along in the garden as the Word with the Holy Spirit and our Father creating the heavens and the earth from the beginning. And don't you think for 1 minute that when he left his humanity behind that he ever suffered under the hands of the enemy. The enemy has no authority in the kingdom, in the realm of revelation, in the realm of Jesus. Remember, the Bible says that the devil is a prince of the power of the air. In other words, he has authority on this side of the earth in humanity. But don't you think for 1 minute, for one iota, that he has the authority to stand over the king when he's in the spirit realm. I want you to know that your Jesus has never suffered a loss. I want you to know that even when he went to the cross, it was authority. It was blessing. It was power. It was the goodness of God that brought him out. Amen? I want to remind you of something before we step into this next moment that I want to talk to you about. And before I go on, I'm going to stay in Revelation just for a minute. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "And I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of God, Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about paps with a golden girdle. And his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like undefined brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And was in his voice as the sounds of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength." Can you imagine when we see the Son of God this time? You know, there's days where the sun is so bright that we can't look directly into it, and it is thousands of miles away. Can you imagine when the Son of God touches his foot back down here on the earth? Can you imagine the brightness? Can you imagine the overwhelmingness, the brilliance of the goodness of God? Praise God. Wow. You know, it says here, "He had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead." You know, it reminds me of that song. I can only imagine Will I stand in his presence or in his awe? You know what? I wonder. I think I'm going to have to fall at the feet of Jesus because of the profoundness of who he is. Praise God. It's amazing because look at this compassion that's in the Lord, even when he is on fire and he's this lion of the tribe of Judah. And, you know, the Lord, it says in the book of Exodus that he's a warrior. Amen. I fell at his feet as though dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I want you to know something. I thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ was the first and the last. I thank you that the word says that ever anyone who has come before him and tried to declare their greatness, they're wrong. They're false. But he says, when I have come, praise God. I am he. Amen. And he's the one that gives us life. And life more abundantly. I want you to know something, that today I want you to remember that the Bible says that from this day forward, we need to remember Jesus after the resurrection. We need to remember him as the one who took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. We need to remember him as the one whose name has authority over every other name. We need to remember him as the one who said, hey, ask anything in my name, and he will be with us, and he will help us. Amen? Praise God. I am the first, and I am the last. Amen? Ooh, praise God. I want you to know that our Lord in heaven is powerful and amazing, and he did everything he did for you and I. I want to remind you that our Father said that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He wanted us to know that without fail, he is the one who has made room for us. You know, now I want you to know something. The Bible says that because we have his grace right now, should we go out and sin? No. The Bible says, God forbid. There should be nothing in us that says, hey, because I'm covered by the blood, I can go out and act any way I want to and still be saved and approved of. That's not how it works. But I do want you to know this, that we need to know that there is nothing in our power that's ever going to look good enough. In fact, we can't fast enough. We can't pray enough. We can't walk right enough, even though we should walk right, because the Bible says, be ye holy as your Father is holy. And the Lord proved to us that once you're saved like him, that sin should be minimized in your life. Now, Jesus will be the only one that ever did it without ever sinning. But also, the Bible says this to us, my little children, if you sin, magnify those words, if you sin, you have an advocate in Jesus who's faithful to forgive you when you repent. And let's repent quickly and let's do that. But also, let's live right for the Lord to the best of our ability. But I also want you to know that without fail, there's not anything you can do to save yourself. There's not anything you can do that's good enough. I want you to know something, that it's the blood of Jesus and his finishing of going to the cross and being resurrected, that alone is what separates us from death, hell, and the grave. Amen? Praise the name of Jesus. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. Now I want to get to something that has to focus on us for just a minute. Amen? Praise God. Because if we're going to walk in the fullness of what the Lord has done for us, hallelujah, we need to really see what that revelation is. And we get to we get to see it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to remind you of something that the Lord says, or that the Bible says right here concerning the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, it says this: "For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves or under their own power," praise God, "but unto him which died for them and rose again." I want you to know that the Bible says this: "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth," in other words, because of the resurrection, "know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." So the first thing that we need to recognize is that now that Jesus made a way for humanity, the Bible declares the only way to live now is for the Lord. And not only getting saved, but the Bible declares that we now live for him. In other words, this life I live now is not about myself and my own way of doing things. Now I should live every day with an awareness of Jesus, with a desire to please him, and with an effort made to put God first and to make sure that I'm living my life in a way that's acceptable to the Lord. Amen? I want you to know something, that this would not be something that we had the power to do unless we've had the salvation experience, because when we receive the salvation experience, we just saw what it says about us, that we become a brand new creature, that old things are passed away. In other words, our old ways that had authority over us, the old things that we used to do in this life, those things that we were oppressed by the devil, even though we didn't know it and was acting out, because if we're not giving control of our life to the Lord, we are making room for the devil to influence us. The old ways of doing things, they're passed away now. They have no authority over us. You know, another place in the scripture says that those who are free in the Lord are free indeed. The Bible declares that when we come into our relationship with the Lord, he gives us a liberty. And that means that he gives us freedom to live life in a way that otherwise we could not. And it says this, that all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Man, that story of reconciliation is such a powerful thing. It says, because it means to be made at one with God. Reconciliation means to restore relationship after enmity or division or separation had caused you to be apart. It now means to restore relationship to a wholeness as though it had never been broken. Praise God. Hallelujah. I thank God that when we get the adoption of sonship into Jesus Christ, we don't get to come back and just be a servant. We get to come back and be a son. In fact, I wouldn't do this, but Jesus says it in the Bible, that he's the first of many brethren. In other words, Jesus is saying, through the salvation I provide for you, you get sonship next to the Father like I get sonship. Ooh, oh man. I thank goodness that the Lord said, hey, it's not good enough just for me to repair a breach. But in the supernatural ability of God, I'm going to restore your relationship in such a way, and you're going to come so brand new in such a way that it's going to be as though you were never separated from God. My goodness. Thank the Lord that when we go to heaven, we're not going to be living in some servant's quarters. Thank God when we go to heaven, we're never going to be treated like second-class citizens. Thank God that when we go to heaven, every day we'll be eating at the king's table. Amen. Praise God. I'm so excited when I read the Bible and it said that we get to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, one thing you guys know that I like to do while we're here on this earth is I like to sit down and have a little bit to eat. And I thank God that we get to eat in the heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to know something here. That along with the blessing of being restored to the Lord and being reconciled with him, you know, it's amazing because just to verify to you how much God accepts you and how much God works in your life, it says that once we are reconciled and that the Lord himself has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Wow. To this point that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their transgressions unto them, and hath committed us to the word of reconciliation. You know, as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, part of the Resurrection Sunday revelation is that now that you have a part in bringing people back to the Lord. By his blood and by the word of your testimony, I want you to know something, that whether you recognize it or not, people need to hear what you have to say. You know, one of the things that you should do is ask the Lord to give you wisdom so you know how to speak to other people and highlight him. You know, the Bible says that once we've been saved, we should never put our light under a bushel. We have a responsibility to bring that light out and let it be seen. Amen? And the Bible says that we have a responsibility whenever we can to bring people to the witness of Jesus Christ. Amen? And don't be afraid. Because the Lord says in his word that when he puts you before men and puts you in a position to speak for him, that you will not have to do it on your own. The Lord will allow the Holy Ghost to help you know what to say. Amen? But I want you to know something, that we have that responsibility of reconciling others to the Lord, just like the Lord did for us. Amen? And then I got to tell you one more thing that you're responsible for. It says, now then, we are ambassadors of Christ. Praise God. I want you to look that word up, because what you'll find out is an ambassador is someone who goes forth as the representation of another. You know, look in the mirror when you get home. You might not approve of yourself, but the Lord approves of you. I want you to know something, that the very fact that you're saved today should let you know that not only does God expect you to speak on his behalf to other people so they can have a relationship with him, he's proud enough of who you are that he has given you an ambassadorship to say, hey, you represent me wherever you go. I want you to know something, that sometimes we talk about the hand and the feet of Jesus. And praise God, I hope that the church represents that. But I also want you to know, as an individual, we have a responsibility to represent that. Amen? You know, it's amazing, because we talk about Resurrection Sunday and we remember that Jesus went to the cross. But sometimes we forget that in the middle of carrying the cross for the entire world, there was two individuals right next to him. And you know what? He was willing to communicate and to be in activity with them while he was saving the entire world. Praise God. I love it, because what it lets us know is that God's love is for the whole world to be saved, but it still brings us right back to that individual relationship where the man was willing to seek forgiveness And the Lord said, I want you to know that even though I'm doing this for the whole world, you'll be with me today in paradise. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I love it because when we talk about Resurrection Sunday, we're not just talking about the big picture of the work the Lord did for the world. Even though he did that, and even though we celebrate that, I also want you to know what I celebrate is the individual work he has done in each of our lives. I celebrate the fact that the Lord right now knows every one of your stories and every one of your testimonies. I want you to know that sometimes we need to remember that it really doesn't matter what other people think or say about us. What matters is what the Lord has to say about us. And I'm telling you, if you have leaned into the Lord, what he's saying about you is what Jesus has said from the beginning when he was on the cross, that it's finished. Once you receive him into your heart, quit contending with yourself. You know, it's amazing because sometimes even after we're saved, we have a lot of self-criticism and self-condemnation. We spend a lot of time still worrying about why we're not worthy enough and if we're worthy enough, if we'll go to heaven, if I make another mistake, will God not be with me, or if I do this or if I do this? How about, this is the if you should take on, how about if I just lean into him and if I cast my care upon him because he cares for me, won't it be enough to get me to the other side? You know, I think it's amazing because I love to think about those disciples who, even in the midst of a storm, it's almost like they forgot that Jesus told them that they were going to go to the other side. And if he told them he was going to go to the other side, clearly he got that word from the Lord, because he says, I don't do anything that I don't hear or see my Father do. So when he said, get in the boat and let's cross over to the other side, Jesus already knew the outcome, that they were going to make it to the other side. And the disciples saw a storm that got them terrified, so terrified that they said, Lord, don't you care that we perish? And the first thing I want to tell the disciples is, hello, he was in the boat with you. Praise God. I mean, my goodness, sometimes we get stressed out in our moments. Let's rejoice in the fact that he's right there available for us to talk to. Amen? Let's rejoice in the fact that he's not somewhere far off where we have to beckon him and do a dance and wait and see if he's going to wake up and hear us. We can rejoice in the fact that he is right there with us in the middle of our situation. That's what I love about the goodness of God. Amen. That's what I love about his willingness to take this thing called life and walk it out with us. I thank God that the Bible says that he's our front guard and our rear guard. It's amazing because that means that he will go before us, but he will also be behind us. He's never going to let anything overtake us, because he's there with us to bring us in to who he is and what he has for us. Amen? You know, today, I just want to rejoice in the goodness of the Lord. I just want to rejoice in his ability to save us and bring us through anything. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you right now that your word says it is finished. Lord, I thank you that salvation could not be left to humanity. And I thank you that you made a covenant with yourself, God, that, Father, when it comes to redemption, when it comes to eternity, when it comes to going to heaven, when it comes to life beyond this world that we know, that, God, you put it in your sovereign hands, Lord, that humanity could not touch it or mess it up, and that there was no authority or power that could stop Jesus coming, going to the cross, being resurrected and bringing salvation to each of us, Father. And Lord, as we just give you thanks and honor today for Resurrection Sunday and for the life that Jesus led and for the redemption that's upon all of us, as we just look to you, Father, and as we just reverence you today, Father, I just pray your blessing upon this time together, Father. And Lord, as we take communion in remembrance of you, God, I thank you, Lord, for your goodness. I thank you, Lord, for the resurrection and the saving power and authority of Jesus, the Lamb, and now the verified Lion that will come back for all of us, God. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. At this time, I'm going to have all of you come up here and get a communion cup today. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we're going to take time to have communion. Praise God. Praise the Lord. You know, I think it's powerful because Jesus, in all of what he did, he always verified to us how important relationship was to him. I think it's amazing that he's getting ready to go to the cross and he's getting ready to give up his life. And even in the middle of all of that, I think what's so amazing is that the Lord was still willing to sit down with his disciples and have relationship and a moment of humanity with them. And I want you to know something, that one thing I like about the way the Lord did things in the Bible is that he always proved to us that, number one, he has the big plan for the world, but he also showed the individual compassion, the love, the humanity of the one-on-one relationship that he has with us. Amen? And so the Lord sat down with his disciples and he shared the Last Supper with them. And he told them that when they do that every time, to do it in remembrance of him. And we're going to look in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'm just going to read something to you here. In verse 23, it says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." I want you to know something, that every time we take communion, it is a time for us to reverence the Lord. I'm going to tell you that when you take communion, it should never be done lightly. It should never be done as a ritual. When you take communion, it should be a time for you to check your heart and your relationship with the Lord. It's time for us to repent if we need to repent. It's a time for us to be thankful. It's a time to make sure that we have a clear heart with the Lord. And it's a time to remember that when we take this bread, it represents the broken body of Jesus Christ, the things that he went through. It represents the Word of God. It represents the life he was willing to give on our behalf. And let's just be thankful for his goodness. And also, we're doing this to remind ourselves that he's coming back for us. So let's just eat this bread. It says also that after the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread," praise God, "and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." I want you to know something, that as we drink this today, let's remember the work of the cross And let's remember the promise of our Lord and Savior. You know, I'm thankful this morning that the Bible says that he goes and he prepares a place for us. But also got to tell you what I'm most thankful for is the very fact that the Lord said, be ready for the latter days. Be ready for what you see, because there will be earthquakes, there will be wars, there will be rumors of wars. In fact, the Lord said, there are those who I pray for who are going to have children during that time. Now, he didn't say stop having children, but he just said that his prayers will be with you for those who have children in those days, because we are going to see a world unfold that none of us would ever have expected to see. I dare say that we're already seeing things that if past generations were seeing what we see today, boy, they'd be turning over in their grave if that was possible. Amen? But in all of this and all the things that are going on in this world that are terrible, I want to remind you that the Bible says our responsibility is to pray. And I also want you to know that the Lord has an expectation that when he returns to this earth, he will see faith on this earth. Amen? I want you to know we still need to be preaching Jesus. We still need to be living for him, because we don't know the day or the hour, but we do know this. Every time we take communion, it's a time to remember not just what the Lord did do, but what the Lord is and will do. Especially, most importantly, is the fact that he will return to this earth. And I thank God that when he puts his foot down on this earth, the Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. I want you to know something, that that's not just referencing the natural world. I want you to know that the spirit world, both all of that which is negative, the principalities, the powers, and the angelic realm, will rejoice in the goodness of our Lord and Savior. Amen? So let's remember that. Let's keep that in our hearts. And let's just pray. Father, as we shared this communion, Father, as we shared it today in honor of you, Lord, I thank you that it represents the work you did at the cross. But not just the work you did at the cross in those days, in the 40 days that you were here on the earth after your resurrection, confirming and doing, God. Not just the days that you went up in the cloud and gave the word to us, but God, even today, your cross and your work and your salvation is still working, still going, and still doing that which you have declared it to do, Lord. And God, we look forward to the day when you return, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, right now, if I could have everybody bow your heads and keep your eyes closed. Oh, yeah, I forgot. We have one more song for you. Praise God.
Heard the preacher talking about three wooden crosses upon a hill for everyone to see. Two sinners on the outside couldn't save themselves if they tried. All I could think is, man, that sounds like me. I've been the one on the left, full of guilt and regret, long gone on the wrong side of living. I've been the one on the right, always looking for a fight, thinking I can never be forgiven. I'm standing here today overwhelmed by grace, cause I know who paid my cost. Thank God for the man on the middle cross. He didn't have to do it, but for me he went through it. A love like that I'll never understand. Lord, I know I don't deserve it, and I know I couldn't earn it. Let mercy rain down on this desperate man. I've been the one on the left, full of guilt and regret, long gone on the wrong side of living. I've been the one on the right, always looking for a fight, thinking I can never be forgiven. I'm standing here today, overwhelmed by grace, cause I know who paid my cost. Thank God for the man on the middle cross. The cross is where he went. Oh, but that ain't where he stayed. He brought me back to life when he rose up out of that grave. Someday I'll stand before him and I'll see Jesus face to face. I'll worship and adore him, for life's never changed. I've been the one on the left, full of guilt and regret, long gone on the wrong side of living. I've been the one on the right, always looking for a fight, thinking I can never be forgiven. I'm standing here today overwhelmed by grace, cause I know who paid my cost. Thank God for the man on the middle cross. Thank God for the man on the middle cross.
If there's anybody in here, and I just want us to close our eyes, bow our head for a minute. If there's anybody in here that today is here and you have not been saved, or maybe you were walking with the Lord and you've backed up and aren't really serving the Lord like you were, or you just feel a place where you need to recommit and come back to the Lord, I just want you to lift your hands right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. We're just going to say this prayer anyway. Maybe somebody's watching us online and you need to turn your life back to the Lord today. So let's just say this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you right now and I receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. I thank you I'm forgiven of my sins. And from this day forward, you will help me live the life you have for me. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to know that I believe that the healing power of the Lord is in the house today, amen? And I want you to know that if you have anything that you need prayer for, if you have pain or sickness, or you've been to the doctor, or you're going to the doctor, or even if you have a procedure out there coming up, I want you to know that we want to stand in prayer with you and just believe God for his supernatural ability to touch your life. So if that's you, I want you to come and I'll pray with you, okay? Amen.
I want to pray for Martine because she's in the habit of getting ready to have surgery. And I want to pass for her. I want God to heal her all the way through and get her feeling better so she can have the word of God.
Amen.
Find a good church that she needs to be in.
Amen. Okay, praise God. Amen, praise God. Well, William, if you've prayed for her, I believe it's already done, but I'll pray in agreement with you, amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we put Marquis before you, Lord. And Father, we just ask you, God, especially for this procedure coming up, God, that you bring her through, get her on the other side, heal her, and most importantly, Father, that she would have a relationship with you, God. that she'd walk in this life saved and with your will taking place, God, and just let her be touched by you, Father. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hey, well, God bless you. Thank you for, oh, come on, praise God. No, it's okay. I was just going to say that we'll be here to pray for anybody that needs prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Well, thank you for being here today. And we'll be here to pray for anybody that needs prayer. Amen. Amen.